Thanks very much for coming and having a chat with me about Planet Sun, because it's now going to be shown at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. Can you tell me a little bit about your film journey, how you began making films before we get onto the film itself?
Yeah, look, my background more recently, the last 15 to 20 years, has been in renewable energy, particularly offshore wind farms. So, look, I was the co-founder of the main project here, the Star of the South, which will hopefully be built off the coast of Gippsland. We're about 14 years in. So, look, I got to the stage about 3 to 4 years ago that I was sick of standing up and bleating out the same message to everybody, doing what I could do, which is generally bring in big investments into new industries and new projects. So I just want a different way of conversing with everybody. So about 3.5 years ago, I decided what's a nice, easy, cheap way of conveying that message. Of course, filmmaking is the opposite of that, so it seemed like the perfect challenge. So I reached out to a friend who's in the film industry, put me onto a director who is Dominic Allen, who is the director of our first film, Planet Wind, which we made in 2000 and well, did all the filming in 2023, and had first screenings and festivals in 2024. Including the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, which we were the Audience Choice Award winner in. And at that stage, I think we really enjoyed the messaging, and always knew I didn't want to do a one-off film. And because I'm in renewables, look, I am big on the generation side, like the wind, the sun, but I knew that you couldn't go out there and make an engineering or science or climate disaster-based film. Look, for me, it doesn't really resonate or move the dial. So I wanted to have something where we were trying to have everyone understand that, when we talk about wind power and sun power and solar, we're actually talking about where it emanates from, not the technology, and whether you like a wind turbine or a solar panel or not. Look, let's focus on what actually generates all this opportunity. So we really looked at, Planet Wind to start with. That was a lot around my personal journey with offshore wind because it was new and it was made more to target the Australian government initially, who have been generally good supporters, to sort of get that message through, but then it became a global story. So I really wanted to sort of cut through renewables as being the outcome of what we wanted people to align with, but do it in a more subliminal way where we have it as more the human stories involved, which for me, having been in the industry, it's about the jobs, investment, regional development, generations of families being able to have opportunities together and live in the same area. And also, obviously, the decarbonisation and lesser impact on the world. So we've done it very much as a human's relationship with these planetary forces. The first one being wind and the second one being sun. And look, the great thing about that is you could make a more all-ages film because we're talking also about how great the planet is. So much in a very poor man's David Attenborough sort of way, we're focusing on, specifics, whether that's types of wildlife or the like, but also highlighting what a great planet we live on. And hopefully making it semi-inspirational, particularly for younger people looking at what they want to do in the world to see, wow, there's these great opportunities out there that have been provided to us. There is a future. There are jobs. It is global. With both films, we go to 10 countries and speak to locals, whether that be more industry-based or Planet Sun is very much more community and regional-based.
Yeah, you do. You go to a whole lot of different places, but you also go there with the intention of talking to people who have a conscious connection culturally with the sun, which is
Yeah,
fascinating, actually.
absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of, we've only had a few screenings. I think that's why I'm excited about the Documentary Film Festival is that we've really held back on this one. I think the first one, it was my first film. So it was like a real cathartic release. So I was just keen to get it out in the world as much as I could. And I had a natural industry, which was developing. In my little industry, my name's recognizable around the world. We've taken the film to about 9 countries. We're in about 8 festivals for Planet Wind, Planet Sun, a similar sort of journey, but I really want to hit to the homes, the families, the everybody out there, more as a human story rather than an industry. So countries like Madagascar, we've found have really resonated. The story there is great. We talk about an energy transition here, and Kalina, one of the ladies from Solar United, just had a great line. It's like people talk energy transition. We're talking about first-time energy users here. Being on the ground, like it was a really humbling experience. I had no idea how poor Madagascar was. It's the third poorest country in the world. It's almost like ground zero for a lot of things. So, but just beautiful people doing the best they can with what they've got. And just the smiles on the kids' faces, getting something as simple as a light that they can put on at home really makes you sort of sit back and think. And you come back to our beautiful developed countries. And you look at all the complaining we do make about things that we just absolutely take for granted.
Which I suppose is partially the strength of the film because, I mean, it was fascinating to become acquainted with people from other places, like the fellow from Mexico, who's so incredibly enthusiastic about his find, and then describing the culture of the Maya. So getting it all in line so that we have a better understanding of our place in the human story, effectively. One, how did you find the people to talk to, and why did you choose the countries that you went to?
Yeah, we're really lucky. We've got a great production team. So we're a small crew, usually about five of us fly around the world filming, but we've got a script writer, a score composer as well. The director and the production manager, they do incredible sourcing. I think for this story, Planet Sun was much easier than Planet Wind. Planet Wind was a lot more, how does the industry develop? This one was more about every nation has got a sun story. So we really wanted to traverse the planet. I was sort of wary with the first film. It was very much based on countries that were built up enough to have offshore wind. Because they're such large projects, you need detailed infrastructure and investment market and the like. This one, we were just keen to get all around the world. There were a couple of really obvious stories. Look, Stonehenge was a bit of the cornerstone. And I was lucky, director Dom really wanted to start in the dark, because it's very easy to think of the sun as just this blazing ball of light and heat. But for people who don't live with the sun that much, that was a really interesting story.
The finished story, yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, look, I was going to say, Annie, it was pretty cool filming it as well.
I was watching it, I was thinking, oh wow, you got to go to all these great places. And I've actually been to Newgrange and I've been into that place. Oh, it's so mind-blowing, that place.
Well, just the story as well, how they think, the shaping of it, look, it may have been designed by a female based on the shape of the ovaries and the like. It's just like there's a great line when we finish up in Finland when I look out the window. I mean, about, where you're questioning whether it will actually come up the next day, and what is this thing? You look at, design of Newgrange, it's like they're piecing together discovery of themselves, discovery of the world, and trying to work out how it all fits together. Yeah, look, I mean, well, the finish bit was pretty cool, because I mean, we did the snowmobiles. It was about 11:30 on a Saturday night on a frozen lake. So you sort of meet at 11 o'clock and you're out there, and it's just like, what are we doing? Like, that was just over the Arctic Circle, so we were
So
just into
that
Lapland.
time in that world that people are in the dark, time has a different meaning.
Yeah, totally. Like with the deer herder, which I always laugh at, speaking to a deer herder, it sounds so foreign to us. He was very, very much talking about with the reindeer, they can't survive on their own for about 8 months of the year, because if they can't, because the snow covers up all the berries and the food, they don't know where to find it. So they usually roam free between, it's more mid-April through to the end of sort of September. But it's like March. He talks about the season of the March. That's just when they can just sort of find their own food, and they're out there and their antlers, redevelop as well. Yeah, look, it's a really different place. Look, and every country is fascinating. Like, I really found the intellectual story of Hawaii was amazing, where we had the giant telescopes. Got a really good 2 to 3 minute historical sequence there, where we go through the ancient Greeks and Romans and the like to track for everybody, what this blazing sun actually meant to all the different, times of civilization. It's funny, I actually felt a bit more like a professional tennis player in this one, because you literally fly to a place, do all your work, rehearse everything, and then you pack up and go straight on. So whereas the first film had a little bit more time and I knew a lot more people, I could stop and do some things on the way. This one was really, because we had to cover so much of the globe in a relatively short time, and it's very expensive. Dominic and I have self-funded these first two films because we were too impetuous. It was really about minimizing or maximizing costs, efficiency and value. But
You take the role of us, the viewer, in an intrepid sort of Tintin way. You're going around the world to find out more things, and we go with you.
yeah, I mean, the good thing, Annie, I've been lucky. Look, I mean, initially with the first film, I wasn't going to be the narrator or the on-screen talent. But then it became apparent from the first film. Look, I mean, I was a lawyer years ago. I'd done so much public speaking and through sport and the like. So I'm super passionate about what I'm doing. So it came through from the first film. I had to screen test for my own film, that, I was probably the best person, particularly for Planet Wind. And Planet Sun, Look, I'm a developing sort of on-screen sort of talent, but I suppose the benefit I've got is I actually really love people. A lot of the interviews would start with probably about 20 questions that I'd get probably an hour before I'd do the interview. I'd always done a bit of research on every person and everything, and then it just became a natural conversation. The Mexican ones were pretty hard because all the speaking was done in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish. So yeah, with but look, it was great. We sort of built a great bond with most people. And look, most people are fascinated that there are Australian documentary makers with a background in renewables who actually want to come and meet you wherever you are in the world. So, I mean, that's a credit to the production team, like Dom and Margarita, who really managed that. We would land in places and everyone would roll out the red carpet, and having done a film previously, which we could send on, people would say, okay, we're actually serious about this. I really aim for cinematic values on this, on these films, because, oh, look, if you just seek to make a nature or an alarmist content, look, people just don't want to hear. We live in a world where facts aren't facts and science isn't science. So you've got to convey things in a different way. And look, even the first film, Planet Wind, was closer to 2 hours. This one is a hard 90 minutes. Just being able to capture, the attention of people is a real challenge. Like getting people to cinemas is a challenge, but also getting that message through, because look, we've aimed to make this pretty different. Like we sort of deal with something that realistically is about renewable energy and climate, but we know we're in Cannes 2 years ago at the festival. We showed the film there and we met everyone. It's a massive, it's more like a massive conference, really, Cannes, rather than the red carpet. And we met with a few of the climate distributors. And I had to say to them, they were like, well, we don't get enough science come through. And I had to say, look, to be fair, a lot of the current films you look at, they are more climate alarmism. They make our job really hard. Like we're the ones out there trying to get the energy transition and have the climate impacts more than anybody through renewables. But going out with climate alarmism, like you just, it's like a year 10 school dance. You automatically have people on either side of the room. So you've got to bring, we want people to feel happy, positive about our planet. We want people to sit there with their children, with whoever, and say, wow, we do live in a great planet. We've always used the sun and these natural resources throughout history. Why don't we use it for a newer purpose? It's not controversial.